Welcome to the Grant Writing Seminar with your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore, on WGCR.FM.
I'm Dr. Moore, the Grant Writer's safe haven and your host for this half hour. We are here to serve the local, national, and international communities. You may send your kind contribution to Safe Haven, Post Office Box 24117, Chicago, Illinois, 60624. You may contact me at 773-407-5372 or 773-426-0271. You may even email me, Eurydice Moore, Eurydice Moore at yahoo.com. You may even fax me at 773-638-5003. Your sponsor for this half hour is National Human Services Accreditation, who may be contacted at 773-407-6208. National Human Service Accreditation is an agency that accredits grant writers, case managers, nonprofit managers. If you need credentials, if you need accreditation, you may reach National Human Services Accreditation. On today's show, we are going to have part one of a three-part series, How to Write a Proposal, Step-by-Step Guidance. The book that I will be teaching out of is named The Elements of Proposal Writing. And if you would like a copy of this book, for a very small fee, you may reach me at 773-407-5372. First, can you write a proposal? Yes, you can. Do you need a college degree to write a proposal? No, you do not. Who can write a proposal? Anyone can write a proposal if they possess the following. You have a sincere desire. You have a high school diploma. You know the alphabet system. You can count money. You can answer the who, what, where, when, and how of a situation. And you are not afraid. If you can answer the above questions that I just asked you, and all you need is an idea, dream, vision, or passion, whatever you want to name it, even an assignment from God, you can write a proposal. Turn your passion into a project, service, or program in which you can solicit for funding. I have seen people freeze up when the word proposal was mentioned. I have even seen grown men quiver over that eight-letter word. I have attended classes where proposal writing was taught and left with a headache. I even took a proposal writing class at a university, and later in life, in the pursuit of proposal, discovered that they didn't tell it all. Well, I am here to tell it all. I began to learn things by accident. I began to stumble into information. And I made a vow from that point on that if I ever get the opportunity to teach proposal writing, to tell it like it is, not leave it out, leave out any information, not to go over anybody's head. And I have even viewed hundreds of proposals. And I'm just here to just share. What can I say? I have even had the opportunity to sit on proposal review committees in which organization proposals were discussed and turned down because of missing key elements that was not identified in the proposal. It is through the above adventures that I had a burden and a passion to write the book, The Elements of Proposal Writing, which is available to you. But we will be doing a three-part series, and if you find at any time that you are missing information or you want additional information, you can request this book. First, there are different parts to a proposal, and I'm going to share those parts with you. You have the summary, your introduction, your mission statement, history, your grant request, need statement, program outline, goals, objective, evaluation, and then there's attachments that you have to send along with your proposal. Now, at this moment, we're going to focus on what is known as a cover letter. The cover letter is not the proposal. But whenever you send out a proposal, you should send a cover letter along with it. Just like resume. When you're out job searching and you're sending out resume from place to place and you send it along with a cover letter. Same thing with a proposal, also known as grant. So you will hear me use those terms interchangeably. Proposal, grant. Grant proposal, it all means the same thing. Okay, now in your cover letter, now if you don't know how to write a cover letter, all you have to do is download. Just get on the information highway, the internet, and download a sample cover letter. And the cover letter is just brief information that you give. Of course, your address is and your contact information and introduction of your organization and why you're writing them in the program that you're seeking funding, and you're ending the letter with the amount of funding that you are requested. All right. Now, we're ready to get to the actual proposal. Now, your proposal on your letterhead, at the very top, should have your organization name, address, city, state, zip code, telephone number. These days, people are adding their fax number, their website. That is optional. For your heading, when you drop down a few lines, for your heading, you should have either the name of the program in which you are seeking funding or the term general operation support, startup or seed capital, or program development. Now, general operation support, when you write a proposal for general operation support, you are saying that I am seeking funding for my entire organization for day-to-day operation. I am seeking funding that will cover salaries, various programs that my organization has, and that will cover expenses of the organization. That is known as general operation support. And with the general operation support funding, you could pay utilities, you could pay rent, mortgage of your organization. You can even buy a postage stamp with your general operation support. Now, startup or seed capital is when your organization is just starting and you're trying to fly and you need to get off the ground. So when a funder sees this type of proposal, they know that you are seeking funding to get started. Now, program development, you may have been around a block for a while. And you've been, in other words, you've been in existence, you've been established, and you have programs that, or a program that you want to expand, you want to improve. You may want to hire additional staff. You may need more money to make purchases for supplies, equipment that will enhance the program. This is known as program development. Now, so in your heading, you should have program name or general operation support or startup seed capital or program development. Now, next you have what is known as your mission statement. And you just type that mission statement. You could put even a Roman numeral when you're doing the different parts of the proposal. You could have Roman numeral 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, so on. And then next to the Roman numeral, you will have the key element of the proposal. So let's say Roman numeral 1, and then you have, of course, that period, and then next to it, mission statement, and then you have your colon. You drop down, And in one or two sentences, you write down your mission statement. What is the mission statement? The mission statement is your purpose, your philosophy, the purpose and the philosophy of the organization. It describes why you are in existence. And example, let's say that you are ABC Corporation, you're a non-for-profit, and your purpose is to provide social services for the Englewood community. So a simple sentence or two, don't go over a paragraph, describing the reason that you exist, the reason that you were formed. Now, I can share a shortcut with you. For those of you that are non-for-profit and you have been incorporated, all you have to do is pull out your article of incorporation, shake the dust off of it, and you will look in the area where it says purpose. Purpose for of the organization. Purpose of the organization. And it should be some information there to provide counseling, to provide food distribution service, so on and so forth. Whatever you have there, that is your mission statement, and you could just simply transfer that onto your proposal shortcut. All right, history. Now you move down to Roman numeral 2.history. You want to give some background information about your organization or corporation to the funder. And the background information, you should introduce the organization, mention the organization name, your organization credential, that you are a non-for-profit, 501c3. When you say that you are non-for-profit, you are saying that you are incorporated. You're recognized by whatever state or township that you're in. And whenever you state that you are 501c3, you are saying that you have been sanctioned. You're recognized by the Internal Revenue Service. Now, these are credentials. Just like professional people have credentials, organizations have credentials. In addition, let's say that you are incorporated, you have a non-for-profit, but you do not have the 501c3. Well, don't despair. What you can do is seek an organization or corporation that is similar to you, that has a 501c3, and ask them if they would be what is known as a FISCA agent, F-I-S-C-A-L, FISCA agent. And in other words, you're asking them to be your parent, your big brother, be your supervisor. And you have to have an agreement. There has to be an agreement and a meeting of the minds when you endeavor in this, which means that you understand that if you use their 501c3, that they're going to be checking your books, they're going to be monitoring your activities, and they're going to make sure that funds are allocated to the various accounts and to cover the various activities of the proposal as you have promised the funders. Okay, they do not want to lose their 501c3. So, yes, they're going to be looking over your shoulder, and you have to understand that. Now, on their level, the ones that is allowing you to use the 501c3, sometimes people will just do it out of the goodness of their heart because they want to help someone. They just want to help, be helpful. Now, there are some people that will charge you a fee, so you need to understand that. Whatever agreement or meeting of the minds there are, you need to sit down and write up what is known as a memorandum of understanding. What you're going to do, what the other party is going to do, and sign off on it, because you know what? People get amnesia. When money start coming in, people start acting funny. I'm just going to tell it like it is. And we get amnesia, and we get into, I thought, okay, I thought you meant this. I thought you meant that. Well, put it in writing. okay? So, that's all I have to say about that. Now, if there's any other credentials that will enhance your proposal, please share it with the funders. Okay. All right. You have been listening to WGCR.FM, the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host for this half hour, Dr. Eurydice Moore.
Your wife and Pete head for tacos. You and Danny want Chinese. You look up at the menu for a few seconds. You look down to see what Danny wants. But you don't see Danny. Your eyes dart around frantically. You instinctively call out,
Danny! Danny!
From the taco place, you hear a voice.
Hey! Dad! Change my mind!
Every parent knows that feeling when, even for a few seconds, you lose sight of your child. Imagine if he or she were actually abducted. Go to wirelessamberalerts.org. Sign up for free Amber Alerts on your cell phone. When an Amber Alert is issued in the areas you've chosen, you'll receive a free text message. If you spot the vehicle, the suspect, or the child described in the alert, call 911. Sign up today at wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. This message brought to you by the Wireless Foundation, the U.S. Department of Justice, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and the Ad Council.
You and white sanded beaches. You and a cool beverage. You and WGCR Web Radio, America's radio station.
Welcome back to the Grant Writing Seminar. Your host for this half hour, Dr. Eurydice Moore. And we're going to pick up at, we were discussing credentials for your organization. You want to let the funder know about your credential, whether you're a non-for-profit, you have the 501c3 status. And why is the 501c3 status so important? Because the funders have promised the government that they would issue out funding to various non-for-profit groups. And in doing so, they receive what is known as a tax write-off. Now, if they don't have that, then they can't attain the tax write-off. So the 501c3 is very important. It is a very important document. And then I also mentioned about the fiscal agent. If you do not have a 501c3, that you can find someone who does and enter into some type of memorandum of understanding. Now, there may be other credentials that you could share. Let's say you're a teacher for Chicago Public School System and you're writing a grant because you have a special project for your student. You could do that. You can include that that this grant is on the behalf of the Chicago Public School System or any other entity. Location. You want the funder to know where you are located. We're still covering the history, the background of the organization. What community are you in? Is your organization located in Englewood, Brownsville, East Godfield, West Godfield, North Lawndale? Where is your organization located? Side of town. What side of town is your organization located? West side, east side, northwest, southwest. City and state. Chicago, Illinois, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Where is your organization located? Then under history also, you want to let them know when you was established. And you could do that by years. You could say the ABC organization is a non-for-profit 501c3 organization that is located in the North Lawndale community on the west side of Chicago, Illinois, and we have been established since 1970, or we was established November 1970. So you could use the amount of years, the accumulated years, or you could use month and year. Then you begin to list the services that you provide. Food distribution, clothing, a soup kitchen, a reading program, financial literacy, reading literacy, computer literacy. You begin to list the services that shows your track record, what you have been doing with your time since you've been established. Also, now we want to get into target population. Who are these services been given to, provided for? Target population. Target population simply means the kinds of people that you have taken care of or the people that you have provided the service, the program, or the project for. And there are several ways to describe them. Funders want a description of your target population, and you may describe them by their economics, social background, gender, ethnicity, or age. All right. Now, if you're going to describe your population economically, simply you're looking at how much money they have in their pocket. Okay, are they low income, low to moderate, public aid recipient, are they disabled, receiving the SSI, and then you can go into social, their social status description. What is their position in society? Disadvantaged, homeless, domestic violent victims, substance abusing, juvenile delinquent, or ex-offender. Then you want to get into the male and female. Okay, are they male or female? Now, when it comes to grant proposal, you're not discriminating, because I had a student that asked me, is it discriminatory if you just have like a women's support group, or you just have a men's support group, or a service or a program project is for a particular sex? No, that is not discriminatory. That's not discriminatory, so you will not get in trouble. There are some proposals that they're funding for, like, girls, teen girls. There's funding mentorship for teen boys. Okay, so it is not discriminatory if it's for a particular sex. Ethnicity, you must describe to your funder the race of the target population, the predominant group that you provide services for: African American, Caucasian, Asian, or I just service everybody. If you say you just service everybody, then you're a multicultural, or you can use the term diverse. Now, be careful with this, because if your organization is located in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, example, Inglewood, and then you put that you're serving Asian, okay, you're going to leave a question mark. So you will notice that with proposal writing, things need to match and line up, and they relate to each other, and that there's linkage. Age, you must describe the age of your target population group. And you can do that by what I call age range or age term. Age range, you will put that your service or your program is for age group between 7 to 14, a particular program. Or you can say that this particular program, service, or project is for children and youth. So when someone hears the term children, they know that you're talking about the little ones on up. And if they hear youth, they know you're talking about the adolescent, the teen. And you might just be doing a program just for youth. So then they know, okay, this program is just for teen. But if you combine the term children and youth, they know you're talking about the little ones on up. So this covered the history of your proposal. Now, Roman numeral 3, you will have next to that grant request. In this session, all you need is one line, and you're going to give the lump sum, and this is how you term it: the requested funding for this program, project, service, or the requested funding for whatever the name of the program is, or the requested funding for general operations support, startup or seed capital, or the requested funding for program development is, and then you give $30,000, you can give $5,000, $10,000, $30,000, and then you can say which will be used towards, and then you list what it's going to be used toward, salaries, equipment, supplies, and then you end it. So someone might ask, well, how do you come up with a lump sum amount of grant? Well, what you do on a separate sheet of paper, you write down everything and everybody that you would need to operate your program, your service, or your project, and then you catalog shop, or you do a approximation, and then you write down prices next to each item, and then you total it. So, and then you put the lump sum amount. Now, later on in the show, I will discuss other type of budget, such as the line budget or narrative budget or the pre-coded written form that is already set, and all you have to do is fill in your budget. So that will go on later on in the program. And this, you have been listening to part one of How to Write a Proposal, Step by Step, The Elements of Proposal Writing. And if you would like this book, simply call in at 773-407-5372. You have been listening this half hour to the Grant Writing Seminar, your host, Dr. Eurydice Moore, on WGCR.FM. God bless. Godspeed.